This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What's up, everybody? Appreciate you joining us here for an emergency edition. You know that when we do these unscheduled, ad hoc, random out of the blue gatherings of Cherrell McMillan, Sean Moran, and yours truly, that there's usually some news to break. Well, it just so happens that after transferring from Marquette and flirting with the NBA, forward slash center big man, regardless of how you classify him, Dawson Garcia has committed to the Tar Heels. And this is a huge get for Hubert Davis and his staff. Cherrell, I'm going to go to you first. What happened? How did it happen?
I'm a little surprised, to be honest, because if you're listening to this probably on Wednesday, when it goes down, we didn't think this was going to happen on Tuesday. Kind of the word we were getting was that Illinois seemed to be in the driver's seat. And maybe that was conjecture. Maybe that was someone offering their opinion and it turned into fact and then got recycled through the echo chamber. I don't know. but it is a tremendous get for UNC. Obviously, he's someone they have recruited before. And I think, you know, you cannot discount Hubert Davis's pre-existing relationship with the Garcia family. You know, in talking to his father, Dave, during the time that North Carolina was recruiting him originally, he just had great things to say about Hubert Davis, about Roy Williams, about how much they love them. And then I've never, since I've been doing this, had a parent do what he did. After Walker Kessler committed in late September of 2019, we all kind of knew that was the end of North Carolina pursuing Garcia. He sent a note to me and was basically like, I just want to let you know how amazing Hubert Davis is, how great, you know, Roy Williams is. We hold no ill will towards them. You know, it's a great school. They recruited Dawson the right way, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, this can be linked to that because the way they recruited him the first time, they remember that. And, you know, he could have had more opportunity, more playing time, more shots elsewhere. But I think that relationship they really felt comfortable with, and that's why he's headed to North Carolina.
You know, it's funny that relationships have been the crux for the North Carolina program for a long time. We've already seen that jump from the past staff to this current staff. And everything you just said about talking with Dawson's father and the things that he said about relationships and what he learned the first time that North Carolina recruited his son speaks volumes. And again, that it's still carried over this quickly. Sean, I need you to break down for me, as if watching it in February when he torched the Tar Heels for what I think was 24 points and some odd rebounds and just absolutely ran roughshod in the Smith Center for Marquette. A Marquette team who was not looking at a very positive season at that point. Talk to me about Dawson Garcia. You know, 6'11", 220, again, 4 or 5, depending on whose system you're talking about and where he slots now at North Carolina. Hit me up.
Well, Marquette's season, it didn't get any better after that game in Chapel Hill as they lost in the first round of the Big East tournament. But you know, here you had a freshman that averaged almost 13 points and 7 rebounds a game. And he was coming in and Marquette had a, you know, they didn't have Marcus Howard anymore, but they had, you know, they had a lot of players as Carolina saw. And here he was, had a very efficient season. I think his offensive rating was around 118. He shot the ball well from three, but what you're getting is a 6'11", as you mentioned, a 4 or 5. I think he can play both. Last year he was playing next to Theo John, who is definitely a 5, and he did just, you know, test the waters with the NBA draft and, you know, went pretty far in terms of the G League invite and workouts, et cetera. But once again, a 6'11 guy that can really, you know, actually stretch the floor and shoot the ball well. I think, you know, last year he made 26 threes, but I think you'll see a guy that can potentially double that next year. And in terms of his versatility, you know, he's definitely not a freak athlete. I think that's why we're seeing him back in college. But he's a guy that can operate in the pick and roll offensively, but he can also guard both positions and switch out, at least for a little bit, on the perimeter defensively. He's not really a rim protector or somebody that's going to, you know, block a handful of shots per game, but he is a guy that can score and he is a guy that can shoot. And that's what Hubert Davis has been looking for. I think there was six times, including the Carolina game, where he scored 20 plus points. He was Big East freshman of the week three times, Big East on the Big East all freshman team. And the guy can definitely put up points. And at the same time, he's a very good rebounder as well. So I think that fits into kind of the Carolina mantra and what they've been looking for in terms of players over the last few months.
You know, one of the knocks on him that I've read and have heard people say, it seems like he's a little light in the lower body and he might struggle at times to guard in the open floor. Do you feel like that's going to be a problem at Carolina, or do you think that's something that probably would be more of an NBA issue versus, you know, playing against players in the ACC?
No, I mean, I think it's less of an issue in college. I think if you're putting him on, you know, a athletic 6'6 wing, that's not something you want to have, you know,
not ideal
for a few seconds. But I think he's a little better than what we saw last year, where for the most part, it was true fives at Carolina playing both the five and the four position. So when they were getting switched out, it was almost like they had no chance on the perimeter. So I do think, you know, once again, he's not a guy that you want out there guarding the perimeter, but I think he can switch and at least help and hedge when needed. But, you know, really that was probably one of the main reasons why he is back in school. You look at the G League measurements and, you know, from a vertical and explosiveness, I think he was, you know, I think Kemp Dickinson was the only one below him in the max vert. And then when you look at some of the, you know, agility ones, he was in that lower tier. But then when you go to the skill set, he was giving some of the top guards as much competition from a shooting perspective as there was. And here's a guy that's 6'10", 6'11". So, you know, from a skill standpoint, it's all there. Just from, you know, a freakish athletic ability, it's not, which is why he's back. But once again, given the offensive efficiency, the rebounding, the scoring, the shooting, you know, he could be in line for a very big increase as a sophomore.
You know, I've never been a scout. This may come as a shock to you. I've never coached college basketball, but I've always heard that you don't turn down the opportunity to coach a McDonald's All-American. Sherrill, how does Dawson Garcia fit in with the current roster that UNC has?
I think, you know, I'll answer it this way. If you look at the issues that North Carolina had last year, I think top of the scouting report probably is turnovers by the guards and then poor shooting from the entire team outside of Kerwin Walton. And then I would say defending, you know, those kind of athletic fours who really torched UNC. That's something Hubert Davis has talked about, that is the position that really gave them trouble throughout the years. And I would say they've addressed pretty much all those things. I mean, it would be, I don't even know how to state how shocking it would be if they shot as terrible as they did the last 2 years, the two worst shooting.
You're playing with fire here, brother.
Yeah, of all time. I mean, they've added, you know, Brady Manick is a marksman. Justin McCoy, even though he only took 9 or 10 shots, you know, the early word is that he can shoot. You know, Dawson Garcia would have the second highest three-point percentage or will have the second highest three-point percentage on the team outside of Kerwin Walton. You have to expect RJ Davis to shoot better. You have to expect Caleb Love to shoot better. You're going to get some contributions from Puff Johnson probably. So, you know, they've taken a weakness last year, probably the weakness, and arguably turned it into a strength. So I think that's first and foremost how I see him fitting in. And then from there, you know, just more talent. And Hubert Davis has said over and over that he wants more talent on his roster, and Garcia, you know, provides that. Additionally, if there's foul trouble with Manick or with Baycott, you know, Garcia can play the five and he can play the four as well. Not, as Sean said, kind of a two true fives playing five and four an actual five playing five and an actual four playing four or four or five, everybody downshifting, that kind of thing. So I think he provides what we've talked about. I hate to keep repeating it, but the facing, the spacing, and the posting, and the versatility, and then the shooting. I mean, he gives everything that Hubert Davis has kind of telegraphed that he wants in big men, Dawson Garcia gives them. And that four-man rotation with Garcia, McCoy, Manic, and Baycott, I think is pretty strong.
So you're great job. You've learned me. You've figured me out. This is exactly what I was going to lead to Sean with. Sean, how Sherrill touched on a little bit, but how much of a 180 has this staff done now being able to hide their weaknesses, both on offense and on defense? Because as we've seen the last few years, shooting has been a big deficiency. Guarding perimeter shots has been a big deficiency. Now, all of a sudden, it seems as with these three additions, plus the incoming freshman that UNC has, am I making too big of a jump here to say that they may have actually fixed their biggest warts?
I think fix might be a jump, just given that a lot will depend on Caleb Love and his ability to significantly improve. But when you look at where they were in the spring and where they're at right now, yeah, I would say they've made a huge jump, especially – once you get Brady Manick, who is, as Sherrill said, is a sharpshooter. And now that you're adding Dawson Garcia, you have two of the top big men shooters in the college game, right next to each other. And then you add in Armando Baycott, who could be ACC player of the year. And once again, is another efficient big. So from a big perspective, you kind of switched out guys that operated better around the basket, and now you have true shooters and true scorers. So I think from a front court perspective, what they were able to do was extremely impressive. And now it's going to be up to the individual improvement on some of the other players as well as lineups to kind of make that full jump to a strong shooting team.
All right. Last question for Sherrill, and then we'll let everybody get out of here. Okay, Sherrill, if we jump back 90 some odd days and we're trying to forecast the first quarter of a year of the Hubert Davis administration around the North Carolina basketball program, can you imagine a realistic scenario in which things would have developed any better than they have?
I think if they would have kept Walker Kessler, it'd have been a little bit better than what they have. Maybe not from an X's and O's basketball standpoint, but for Hubert Davis to come in and win a recruitment of a player whose recruitment they've already won, I think would have sent a pretty loud message. As is, I think you have to give him an A, honestly. If he's, I would give him an A between Garcia, Manic, and McCoy, Caleb Love coming back, and then all the rest of the team coming back. I think it's pretty impressive. The Kessler thing is the only thing I would say that didn't quite go right.
You don't feel like it's a tougher win to bring in somebody new versus bringing back somebody that you'd already won over one time?
In this particular situation, I think
okay.
Kessler was the hardest recruit he probably could have gotten back, honestly. Okay. There was an advantage there, definitely. But just that situation, winning that recruitment to me would have spoke louder than winning this one. Not to say that the winning this one wasn't hard, but to me, that one would have been something.
All right. All right, guys, parting shots. I feel like we've put a nice bow on this. I like to try to be efficient for Sean because he's such an analyst mind. I want to make sure I'm using the best, making the best use of his time. Sean, any parting shots?
No, I mean, I'm still surprised. I thought, mentioned this on our last Coast to Coast pod, but I thought playing time would win out for Dawson in terms of some of the other schools that had, open starting spots and easy 30 minutes per game. But once again, it'll be up to Hubert and the coaching staff to figure out the playing time. But now you have three extremely strong and versatile from a scoring perspective big men. So, very surprised, but happy to see how the pieces fit next season.
Sherrill, any parting shots?
No, just a huge win for Hubert Davis. I mean, I think that's the only thing you can take away from it. If he had announced he was entering the transfer portal on April 1st, this is a number one, number two, number three type guy in the transfer portal. So because he's doing a little late, it doesn't seem quite as significant maybe nationally, but this is a pretty huge deal for Heber Davis and his staff.
You are one magnanimous dude, because if I were you, I would have absolutely taken a victory lap and dunked on all the people that were mad that UNC didn't immediately sign or didn't immediately bring in somebody for this class to back up Armando Bacot. But you're a greater man than I, Charlie Brown. But hey, look, I appreciate you guys joining us. Thank you to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring us. Didn't give them a shout out beginning just because this was such a big deal. But Johnny T-Shirt, your home for all the UNC gear you could ever possibly want. JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Hit them up. I mistakenly said West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill a few podcasts ago. That's totally wrong. They're East Franklin Street, East Side till they die. Johnny T-Shirt, owned and operated by UNC alums and fans. Hit them up. JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Inside Carolina premium subscribers, get your extra dime off the top. We appreciate Johnny T-Shirt sponsoring. Thanks to John Siegley for producing. Thanks to Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran for bringing the analysis, easy for me to say, and the insight as always. Boys, thank you much. We'll talk at you next time.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.